just like that.
Party people.
What's up,
Welcome,
Josh?
Welcome. Loopers for Life. We are back in the Tal Grace Marketing and Media Studio with my co-host here, Cousin T-Rock from
What's
the block.
Happening?
What's up, my man T?
I'm ready to be back. I'm ready
I
to do this.
Too, Josh Snyder. We are now a two-man show. It's official, Teague.
It is official.
It is official.
Joey is officially a full-time looper.
He's a full-time looper and just a Twitterer. I mean, this guy, being able to sit on his couch and then go and loop and just be constantly on Twitter. I mean, he's a media personality, but if he ever wants to call in,
yeah,
maybe he could be our guest.
This just wasn't for Joey, man. He was afraid about his opinions being too out.
I know. He dropped that F-bomb that first time. I came down hard on me. I showed my PGA card. I'm like, hey, man,
PGA.
PGA. This is a PGA show right here, all right? PGA. So what's going on, T?
Nothing, man. Ready to talk about what's happening in golf. Hey, did you see Jordan Spieth's shot on that cliff?
Oh my gosh!
The aerial shot of that freaked me out. Like I'm good with heights. Like right. I'm that stuff doesn't bother me, but seeing Jordan Spieth inches from death there was just like
whoa! If he falls forward, he's
done.
Yeah, I mean that's 60 foot straight down. And
that hole seems dangerous.
Yeah. You know, and think about the shot that he played in the Ryder Cup, Teague.
I know.
If it wasn't for Bryson's drive on hole number one, he probably hit the shot at the Ryder Cup when he was on the side of Lake Michigan there, and he threw that lob with it.
Yeah.
And then he ran down the hill kind of backwards and, you know, easily could have. I mean, Tony Finau pretty much broke his ankle right on the Masters after a hole in one, just skipping up the hill. So, he was running downhill. And then the shot that he played on Saturday, I believe that was Saturday, you know, may par on hole number eight there. I mean, that is probably one of the most incredible golf holes in the world, and let alone in America. And, par four. And then just to be able to go hit that. And, you know, he hit it, got it out of there. It was definitely something that I didn't see live, but I watched it 20 times on.
Well, look, so the PGA Tour's Twitter account has the title is A True Cliffhanger starring Jordan Spieth. You need to watch it. It is crazy.
It's one of those things that it is probably, like he said, the stupidest thing that he's ever done on the golf course.
Did he say that?
Yes. He said he would not do it again. And his caddy said, well, that's good because the next time I see it, I'm just going to go over and kick your ball down the cliff.
Yeah, it is. It's gone.
Your ball is gone. You got to, oops, sorry, I was looking for it. Hopefully that's not an extra penalty stroke. And, you know, he made par on that thing, which was incredible. You know, he hit it and he hit it left. And when you're left of that green, I mean, those greens over there especially on the ocean side, they break so much towards the ocean there. You know, there's always that saying, and whether it's true or not, and most likely it's not, the ball breaks towards, you know, the ocean or
the mountains.
No, balls break everywhere because, you know, there's grass on there and there's slopes. So they're not always true unless you're on hole number five at Harmony Landing, and you're up on top of the hill.
It always breaks?
It always breaks towards the Ohio River. It really does. That's outside of that one spot, that's the only spot that I know in the world that rule breaks the exception. But, you know, Jordan Spieth played awesome. And, I mean, again, last year we saw Jordan up on the leaderboard, Teague. I mean, you know, and we had this,
he had his resurgence. It was his comeback year for sure.
Is Jordan back? And I think that
he's
we're
back.
Seeing it.
Yeah,
there's no doubt. I mean, you know, he's back. And the great thing over this weekend with the, you know, that's a weird tournament because you're playing three different golf courses. You're playing with celebrities. It's a long fight out there, right?
Yeah,
and they have a pro-am that's going along with it.
Yep.
And Pebble Beach is really the mark of the golf season, I think, because you do get to see all the celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you get to see a guy like Josh Allen, who is one of the best, you know, NFL quarterbacks lose a game in football professionally that was the best game ever played in the NFL. And what'd he do? You know, he's at Pebble Beach teeing it up.
I mean, pretty cool.
And where would you rather be at Pebble Beach teeing it up or in the Pro Bowl? I mean, did you watch the Pro Bowl, bro?
No, but.
Dude, Pro Bowl, bro.
Yeah, no, I did not.
It was terrible.
I will say this about the NFL. They need to fix the overtime rules.
Well,
it was a shame Allen didn't get that ball back.
Bro, I mean, there's a lot of things going on in the NFL that they need to fix.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, some of those news stories are circulating. They're incredible. And you know, it kind of goes back to all sports. I mean, and I'll say this. you know, and we've talked about it with the game of golf. I mean, All Sports is a good old boy network.
It is.
And it has been for a long time, and it's all the way across, and everything's being redefined right now. And I think that, you know, when we look at it, and especially in the golfing world, you know, hopefully we start to see that big change. I mean, you know, we have spoken before on our podcast, you know, Tiger Woods brought a lot of things to the game. Diversity was one of the highlighted things that we were going to get from that that never really happened. But, you know, what has happened, you know, slowly is starting to get there.
Yeah.
You know, slowly the game is starting to move and open up the doors and be more, you know, and USGA had a lot to do with this too, Teague.
Right.
You know, because they brought, you know, the U.S. Open from private clubs to Bethpage Black.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, that was America's first Open, and that was, what, like 98, 97? I can't remember. Tiger won. I mean, it was 99 maybe.
I remember watching that being like, how cool. That's a public course.
Right.
I was like, that is really neat.
Right.
That stuck with me.
Yeah, and you know, and for them to be able to continue to do that, and I mean, they did it at Erin Hills. I mean, I think that has probably done a lot more for the game than, you know, Tiger Woods in the sense of bringing all the diversity to it. Because now when you're watching a tournament that you can go play, and it's hard to say what I just said, because Tiger has done
nothing's
way,
done more than the game. Right.
I mean, you know, that's why this guy has won the PIMP.
Nothing.
I mean, he's going to win the PIMP award every year from the PGA Tour.
I wonder how your PGA fellas like you calling that the PIMP award.
I don't. Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing. I mean, am I in a PGA studio right now, or am I at the Tell Grace
Martin?
No, man,
that's just it.
Yeah, well,
you're not.
I think my PGA fellow members would say PGA Tour is pimping. I mean, you know, and that's what, you know, the PGA Tour, and there has been a lot of controversy on that. But let me go back to to what I was saying. You know, USGA in their embracement of having, you know, their national championship at somewhere that is accessible to all is a big story, right?
Agreed.
Tiger, what he did for the game and continues to do for the game is great, and it's only going to get better now than it was back in 98 when it was the good old boy network.
Yeah.
Because the good old boy network slowly over the last 25 years has started to evolve, right? Would you agree with that?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and I think that when he does come back, and that's the great thing about, we know what's going to happen. I mean, whether it's on the father-son or at the British Open, you know, or at the Masters when he makes his first appearance, or it could be Bay Hill in a month. I mean, when he comes back, I mean, the game has now have the doors to where anybody and everybody can go play. You know, that growth that comes from it, I mean, we're starting to going to see it. I mean, you know, Tony Finau has won this past week, a huge victory with Harold Varner III getting
his
first
putt.
Oh,
woo!
How about it, that putt in that tournament, Teague? So this is the first year, you know, this is Greg Norman's tour. This is the one that, hey, we're going to pay you to come over here and play, and we're going to compete with the PGA Tour, and we're going to do it the professional way by saying, hey, you're a golf pro, you're at this level, we're going to pay you to play on our tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want you here. 90? Just like any other sport that is going on. Am I right on that?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right. I mean, you know, you make it, hey, let's go get paid. Free agents.
92-foot eagle putt to win.
Well,
his first professional win.
Oh, yes, it was. And the field, Teague, was fantastic.
Oh, I take that back. Second pro win. First since 2016.
What he went in, I think the one in 2016 was a Corn Ferry.
I'm not sure. I'm just reading it right here. Yeah, so the second pro win, his first since 2016.
I think that's his first on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, probably.
Or, you know, or, well.
Well, that's
whatever.
Just it. That's
not
PGA
even on
Tour.
The PGA Tour.
Right.
So you
does
just
that,
got me.
No, so does that, all right. So obviously it doesn't count towards FedEx points. It doesn't count for this stuff, right? No.
But that's a major worldwide win. I mean, you know, when you
does that get you in the Masters?
Huh?
I mean, does the PGA Tour, are they going to, here's my question, are they going to recognize any of these Saudi Arabia events at all? Or is it like, dude, screw you, you go play over there, it's like you didn't play?
Well, that's the very first thing, yes. I mean, you know, they are on your latter point, screw you, that's what the PGA
That's Tour, where they're at right
that,
now.
That's what they have pretty much said. Now, they have come softer off that, Teague. And they're allowing, like at the first when it came out and Greg Norman put it out there, and they're like, screw you. They have been softer on that, and these guys have all like said, hey, we're going to be able to go and play. I mean, you know, if this fits my schedule, I'm playing. And And, you know, they're getting paid to go over there and play. They're obviously competing for a lot of money. But, you know, I don't think the main point is what you said. Do they get recognized for any of their points and get them into the Masters? I don't believe so.
I don't think it helps them anything on the PGA Tour, right?
No, and nor on the European Tour.
Right.
But, you know, the Asian Tour, it helps the marketing of creating another place these.
And so, yeah, of course,
that's where
they're playing oil money.
Look at what Saudi Arabia, yeah, the oil. I mean, you know, they're backing this tour, putting $200 million out there and doing this. And then they're going to offer people to come and play.
Yeah.
And guarantee, hey, you know, you come play 8 events on our tour.
Yeah.
These 8 right here, we're going to pay you Bryson DeChambeau, whatever you get offered.
Speaking of Bryson DeChambeau, he had another drama-filled week in Saudi Arabia.
Well, I know. It's an interesting thing because everybody in the golf world, you know, kind of blew up and said, oh, hey, Bryson's working out too much and doing this, and is that going
to
hurt
your
him?
Take on that? You're a guy that likes to do yoga. You work out. What do you think that he's hurt himself by all this speed training?
No. There is no way that he has hurt himself. I mean, this guy is guy.
So you think that's just a bunch of crap?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, can you get hurt doing what he's doing? Yeah, but, I mean, you know, is he pushing? And can he find the edge? I mean, speaking about yoga, I mean, you know, here I am sitting in a class doing nothing, right? I'm trying to just sit there and meditate.
Right.
But, you know, you always have to find your edge. And when you find your edge, you know, sometimes, you know, that can kind of push you in when you apply what he does, which is a lot of torques and a lot of pressure shifts and, you know, a lot of momentum.
He's torquing a lot of things there.
He's doing a lot of things, but, you know, he's so well built and defined to do that.
Yeah, his body's built for that.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, and he's probably the most eccentric of everybody, right? Mm-hmm, I mean, you know, he's been known to be that guy.
He's his own dude.
Yeah, he was that guy before there was that guy. And, you know, him embracing what he's doing now, I don't think it's anything.
He said, everyone needs to chill.
Right.
He said, I'm good.
Yeah, right. He's like, I'm about ready to get paid by these Saudis to come over here and play 8 tournaments.
I'm good.
I'm going to get paid. Well, you know, it's interesting just like how that's going to play out. The fields that they are getting over there, Teague, I mean, there is no doubt that they're going to be worthwhile. I mean, they will be something that maybe we look at as a fantasy play when we come down. I mean, because what's going to be the take on that? I mean, there's going to be fantasy betting on that.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, is. You know, and so
you're getting a lot of major Europeans that, you know, are a little bit, that tour has been a little bit more lax because they have always embraced other tours to kind of create a place to play for all these Europeans and South Africans and Australians. And now, you know, what you have on the Asian side,
right?
That where the game has really just taken off. You just see, you know, the Europeans are going to say, hey, you know, go ahead and play, mate.
Yeah.
You know, get paid.
Yeah. Well, we're going to introduce a new segment, in this podcast that we're going to start doing from now on. We're actually going to pick a live team on air and submit it and then tell you how we do each week. So we've always just made picks and then just kind of really just let it go. It was the end of it. So we're actually going to do this live on air, and then we'll talk about how well or how not well we did.
And in honor of Joey, too, anytime that Camilo Villegas is in the field in the race spot, he's going to be my pair of play.
No,
I mean,
man.
Villegas, oh, come on now.
That was comical. And he got lucky and made the cut once.
Oh, he would have put you over the top at time, and we would have won. So, I mean, you know, will we be playing the Saudi Arabian Tour?
You know, that's a good question. You can, obviously. You can bet on it, but
they're going to have great fields. I mean, they're going to have a lot of the Europeans, a lot of the international stars. Utazin, I mean, you know, you got to figure he's going to be out there.
Louis is one of my favorites.
Yeah, and so, you know, and this is a big year in tournament play and golf. You know, we've talked about that with the upcoming majors. There are host sites this year, Southern Hills, Brookline, up in Boston, and then, you know, obviously St. Andrews. I think that, you know, there's going to be a focus on those 4 tournaments from the top 20 of the world to where they will be prepared to go and play other places to get ready for those type of golf courses.
All right, so here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Phil Mickelson's comments and where you stand on this whole thing. So basically, he's coming down as if the guys don't get paid enough, the tour's been greedy, and that there's billions that these guys need to be putting in their pockets that they're not getting. So, look, man, I'm on the fence of this whole thing because I can go back and forth. I've been on the sports administration side of things. I've been on the athlete side of things. I can see both sides, but I feel like sometimes these guys get so much money and they get so much fame and recognition, they feel like they deserve all of it. And I do feel like Phil is being a bit I don't think he's reading the room right on these particular comments is my thought.
Well,
how do you feel about
this? I feel like Phil Mickelson is obviously one of the most recognized sports guys in the world. And you have to look at what they do as a worldwide, I mean, with the game of golf. And so, you know, he would be recognized if he was over in France.
Anywhere.
Right.
Anywhere in the world.
Yeah, right. Because, I mean, you know, the people who are golfers are
travelers. He's top three most recognizable golfers probably ever.
His issue with what the PGA Tour is kind of the name, image, likeness. I mean, is what's kind of going around. And that's that, you know, he hasn't. If people are going to use certain shots of his in promotional material, they have to pay the PGA Tour to get that. And Phil Mickelson in getting
he's not
money,
he doesn't get.
So that's where this whole PIMP, you know, program, this pimping program that Tiger and Phil are going to win every year.
Now, hang on. I want to lay this out for the listeners. So if Buick takes a shot that Phil Mickelson plays on the tour and uses it in one of their ads, Phil Mickelson doesn't get paid for that. The PGA Tour does.
PGA Tour does, yes.
And Phil Mickelson doesn't see a penny.
He may see some of this money come back to him
from the PIP program,
which is what has gotten started. I mean, you know, this.
But historically, they would not get paid for that.
Historically, they would not get paid for that, and the company who is using that is buying that from the PGA Tour and not buying that now.
Interesting.
You know, I say that with my Twitter knowledge. So you can that's interesting and enough, and that's just, you know, two or three things that I've read, listened to the you know, on Twitter, listen to the Golf Channel and what they talk about it. You know, I'm sure there's another side to it, just like you said. I mean, as a sports administration and management, but I think it goes to like the basis of how Greg Norman felt about it back in 1997. Whenever he decided that he wanted to start a rival tour that with the PGA Tour, that Tim Fitchman, who was the PGA Tour commissioner at that time,
right,
you know, absolutely shut down. I mean, you know, and pulled the plugs down from the good old boy network down.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, hey, let's go over here. If you're going to do that, we're not going to partner with you. You can't watch whatever it is. So I think that, you know, this has been an ongoing thing. And from Phil Mickelson's side, you know, he's just saying, hey, that's not right. I mean, you know, if I hit that shot on number 12,
and
my sponsor wants to use number 12 at Augusta when he hit it off the pines, was the comment that I saw. It essentially was like, hey, my sponsor wants to use that shot on number 12 that I hit at Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that shot, hey, they don't have to pay for it. And if they do pay for it, they need to pay me, not you.
Yeah, or there needs to be some sort of split. It needs to be fair.
Right. And
you know, I think about, like, the Sergio Garcia shot when he was behind the tree and hit the big old cut and he ran out and jumped in the fairway. You know, you see that everywhere, right?
Let's talk about Tiger Woods' shot.
Oh, right. Well, there's all these iconic shots, right?
Right.
So if these guys aren't getting some sort of compensation from that, that's not right. So I certainly agree with that piece of it. But I still think this whole Saudi Arabia thing's dangerous. I think it's dangerous for the game of golf. I think it's dangerous for the PGA Tour. I'm hoping that, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well,
I hope it all works out.
I think it will work out because it's just going to make the game stronger in these areas of the world that, you know, really, when they have their tours, they're not getting the exposure that they should. It's going to give the Japanese tour, you know, a better standing. I think it'll give way for a lot of the African players.
Yeah.
You know, and I think their tours, like the Sunshine Tour or something like that. And I always like that.
Yeah.
And man, Golf Channel has changed so much. I mean, do you even watch Golf Channel?
Man, it's junk.
It is kind of junk. I mean, I'll say it, man. I mean, you know, if there was a time, Teague, where I thought, you know what, I could go to the Golf Channel and work. I could sit here and do what we're doing right here in the Tal Grace Marketing Media Studio, but the Golf Channel's junky.
I'll watch the Golf Channel around some of the majors, like around the Masters, around the U.S. Open. I watched it a little bit then, but that's it. That's the only time
I used to love when they would play the Sunshine Tour. I mean, you know, and those coverages from there, and having golf on all the time, they're essentially an infomercial channel now. And with NBC taking it over and having, you know, the morning drive kind of going away and everything, all the studios that were down in Orlando at AP1, Studio 1, Arnold Palmer 1, I mean, you know, they've really just blown it up and moved everything up north, and it looks cold and barren. And even their coverage of the PGA Show, which was 2 weeks ago, and we kind of spoke about the PGA Show the last time we were on. That was round two, game two, and that was a big day because it was 2022.
Yeah.
But, you know, the I just want to say that again because that was fun that day.
Yep.
You know, their coverage of the PGA Show was kind of weak too. I mean, you know, and so they're like, when you channel flip, if you want to watch a golf infomercial, I mean, it's a great channel, but, you know, play golf movies more.
Play
the tours. Let's see the women play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, their coverage of the women's, and we have spoken about this before on Loopers for Life, you know, it's not enough. And you're having great champions to where Teague, the whole thing in the golfing world was, well, you know, there's all these Koreans are playing and they're winning, and, you know, after they win, they can't speak American or English, whatever you want to call it. Can't speak American. They can't speak American.
Can't speak American.
Who's going to listen to them if they can't speak American?
American.
I mean, you know, and so the common theme was, hey, well, you know, they need an interpreter, blah, blah, blah. Nobody knows their name. And now you have U.S. women dominating. I mean, number one player in the world, you know, Korda.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I mean, you know, you got Daniel Kang, who is just doing it. And I mean,
it doesn't hurt that she's attractive.
Right. And I mean, well, all these girls now are athletic and attractive. And even the ones that aren't are playing golf. So that makes them athletically attractive to me. I mean, I love them. I mean, you know, that's. And so when you look at like the women's game, I mean, the coverage that it gets. It's kind of mediocre.
All right, Josh.
And you get it from the Golf Channel,
I feel you, man. Hang on. Let me give you the other side of this. So here comes the male chauvinist pig out in me.
You better be careful.
I'm going to be careful, but I don't know how much women's golf I'm turning on, though, man.
Hey, I would watch them.
Look, I get it from your side, right? I your profession, what you do. I know you teach a lot of the up-and-coming young players. I get it, man. But me, as just a, you know, just turning golf on.
As a dad of a girl?
As
a dad of a girl? When she starts playing golf, what are you going to be doing?
I don't think golf? I'm going to be watching the LPGA.
Huh? Well, if the...
Maybe.
But I mean, you know, if there's nothing else on and you're sitting there and it's at the right time, I mean,
turn on... this is going to sound bad because we have a golf podcast, but I turn on the majors, right? And I turn on the tournaments that are close to the majors. If I'm only watching 5, 6, 7 men's golf tournaments, I don't know that I'm venturing out into the LPGA.
But I think that on the Golf Channel, their coverage and how they should be able to present that, and I don't know if that's an LPGA thing. I mean, you know, here we go, you know, we're talking about the PGA Tour and how they control everything. You know, the ability for the LPGA and this partnership, if there is even a partnership with the Golf Channel and NBC products now. I mean, we don't know that, right? And here's my point to you. I mean, I think that, you know, the women's game has been elevated and they have a base. Would you, you know, turn on the WNBA and watch what's next? You know, do you watch their championships?
Maybe.
I mean, maybe not.
Maybe
I mean,
not, too. Right.
Maybe not. I mean, so, I mean, I know.
I mean, look, I don't.
You already said you're Mel Chauvinist pig.
I'm the bad guy. I'm the bad one to talk about this because my time is very limited to watch these. But
oh, for sure. Everybody's is. But, I mean, you know, I say the golfers fan base and keeping up with the game, you know, that needs to be on the right level. And I'm, you know, I'm not questioning any network's decisions or this, that, and the other. It's just that, you know, the coverage of from the golfing channel, which it, you know, the golf channel, which should just be purely golfing material, they could do a better job. But it's been changed and it's terrible.
I think I need to clarify this.
See the Americans dominating.
I get you. Like, all right, here's a perfect example. like here recently when UK and U of L have been doing really well in volleyball, man, I was into that women's volleyball stuff. It was exciting. Like I watched all of it. I thought it was awesome. Mm-hmm. I love watching women's softball. It's fast. It's fun. It's exciting to me. So I'm not saying that like watching women's sports is not something I want to do. It's just to me, the LPGA, it hasn't been exciting. If there was something about it that made it more exciting, I'd be all about it.
Well, I mean, there's not a lot of exciting things about golf if you're watching on TV.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You know what the most exciting thing about watching golf is on TV? You know what it is?
I don't know.
It's the nap, bro. I mean, you know.
The nap. I do fall asleep.
It is the nap. I mean, you know, let's outside of the four majors.
Be real here.
Outside of the four majors, I'm going to say there's eight majors. I'm going to put the four majors or there's nine.
All right.
And that's another thing. Well, if I'm going to pick on the ladies' game, give me four majors. Don't have five. I mean, you got five majors. I don't really know, like the Dinosaur. You got the KPGA. Let's see if I can name them. Number one, Dinosaur, KPGM, whatever PGA Championship that they call that, the Phil Mickelson event. Hey,
Josh, here's where I'm
at. You got
man.
The U.S. Open, the British Open, and even Masters, Yvonne Masters over in Switzerland, which is a cool tournament. I will watch
I don't one. Think our listeners care.
I do.
I don't think they care about
you're assuming we have listeners. This is like
I know we have listeners because I see the numbers, and I don't think look, man, this is what podcasts are about.
That's
right.
That's right.
We can give our opinions on a podcast without people getting mad at us, and I just think that I'm all about women's sports. I love me some women's U of L basketball. I watch every game that's on TV. Jeff Walls is amazing. Haley Van Lith is fun to watch. It's exciting to me. Women's golf, just court is just 200 yards. I don't know, man. It's just not something I get into.
So great about it. I mean,
and that's great.
The average player would learn so much more, Teague, if they watched it.
Okay.
I mean, because you would learn course management. You would learn how these girls can hit 185-yard three hybrid, which is what the average player is hitting, right?
Yeah.
The average player is hitting a three hybrid 185 yards.
All right.
Hey, watch these girls hit it because, you know, they'll show you how to bunt it onto the golf course. They know how. But, you know, that was kind of the golf of the past. And when you look at them now, the athleticism that they bring, their ability to crank it out there.
There's no doubt about that.
I mean, you know, the game has changed. And that game, like, who's turning on golf really to watch outside of, you know, the average fans? I'm just saying the average fans outside of the avid golfers. Like, just a sports fan. If this is just a sports fan show, who's turning on golf to watch more than four times a year?
Well,
nobody.
I know.
Nobody. You're talking about your four majors.
Yeah, your avid golfers are.
Well, no, you throw them out. I'm just saying you're an average American golfer, which is the guy who plays six rounds all five of them are scrambles. I mean, you know, I play golf.
I'm with you.
So, I mean, you know, those.
Let me give you an example. So there's a Twitter clip out right now of a high school girl cramming on another girl basketball, posterizing her. One hand goes up, grabs a rim, holds a rim, and just kind of posterizes this other girl. I thought that's awesome. I cannot wait to watch her play. Like, when she gets into college, I'm watching this girl play. Like, how cool is that, that you got a women's basketball player that's cramming on people, one hand just dunking on people's faces? That's exciting to me.
Right.
And I think what the LPGA needs to do is figure out how to make the product a little bit more exciting. Maybe you go down the path of, like, the match, and you start miking some of these girls up, and you're hearing some of the interaction between the shots and the caddies. And I think there's some ways to make this a little bit more exciting. And I think one of the things that's going to make this more exciting is Netflix is doing this whole documentary where it's going to be behind the ropes, right? Inside the ropes. And it's going to be behind the scenes. And you're going to have all these different viewpoints of golfers you've never had before. That's going to really change the way people look at golf.
Well, and I think that's, you know, but where are they starting at? They're not starting at on the LPGA.
No, they are, though.
PGA. And so
there are a couple they're doing.
That's LPGA. Good. I mean, you know, and that goes to show where the game and kind of going backwards to how we started talking about, you know, the involvement of the game and the breaking down of the barriers and the good old boy network. And I think that you're going to see that it's great that, you know, you say, hey, there's going to be a couple of women that are on this docuseries.
Yeah, it's great to
see that the guys who are at the top of the board that got approached, guy like Justin Thomas, like, hey man, let somebody else go get that dollar.
Yeah,
you know, I'm good, and so you know, and so you
he's
know,
part of it,
huh? Is he? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, part good for him. Or give me that dollar, even better, man.
He's part of it.
I thought he wasn't part of it.
Oh man,
good.
JT's part of it.
Good for him, man. Go ahead, and get paid, homie. You know where I stand on that. So I want to go back and
I'm gonna have to look this up.
This is going to go to what you just said. I mean, you know, like a young 14-year-old out there dominating the girls' game and dunking on somebody. There was a young 14-year-old that played in the Saudi Arabia first annual classic, whatever it was, from Thailand, from Singapore. And I'm going to butcher this, but it's Rachan Shatamaravana.
Yeah, that's butchering it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this 14-year-old that is one of the highest-ranked amateurs in the game, obviously, making the cut. Balling out on the Asian tour. He has made the cut before. I mean, you know, and he finishes third. Finishes third, bro.
14, man. I mean, can you imagine being 14 years old? My son is 12.
Oh, he didn't finish third in this. This isn't another one. I was just pulling up his name. He made the cut.
I can't fathom it.
Yeah. That he finished third in the Singapore Invitational on the Asian tour, and this is at, you know, the beginning of the year.
My son's 12, and he walked into basketball practice with spaghetti sauce all over his face the other day. I'm like, can you imagine like being that age and competing and making cuts?
Right.
I mean, come on.
I mean, big game. And I mean,
crazy.
You know, and he's funny because I saw an interview with him, Teague, and I mean, and basically he was like, yeah, you know, this is awesome because I get to do this. And, you know, I tagged along with my dad. Really had just one fun. He goes, I played as my first tournament as a 5-year-old, and you know, it was the 6 to 8-year-old he got entered into, and you know, all the kids won medals but him. And he was like, I cried. I wanted that medal so bad. And he was like, he goes, next term I got in and get medals and, you know, and blah, blah, blah. You know, the rest is history.
Driven me ever since.
And he's like, you know, I got to go to school. He goes, my teachers think I'm totally different and can't believe that, you know, how I act on the golf course is not how I act at school.
Right.
And so, you know, he really just showed world-class game. I mean, played alongside Lee Westwood, and Lee Westwood was just raving about him.
Awesome.
Raving about him. And so, awesome. You know, you see this rise in athletics coming to the game of golf, and it comes back to, you know, like what we talked about when Tiger came, you know, the generation of athletes, what Tiger has done. You know, Tiger Woods, you know, Tiger Woods created Bryson DeChambeau.
Tiger Woods.
I mean, you know, when Tiger got all into, you know, how big can I get, how slow can I get, he went and got it done.
Tiger Woods created a lot of these guys. Let's talk about the pictures of Justin Thomas when he's got on his red shirt, black pants, and his Tiger head cover when he's 12 years old.
Right.
I mean, these guys idolize him when he's coming up, they're coming up.
Right. And I mean, you know, and what he has done for the game of the, you know, across the world. I mean, if he gets back, I mean, what would happen if that guy said, hey, you know what? I'll take your oil money.
I'm
only going to play 4 events.
Depends on where he's at.
Yeah, because I'm only playing 4 events anyway, so I'm playing 4 of the majors, and everybody can see me in America and there, and then I'll just travel the world.
I mean, that would right. They'd pay him whatever he wanted.
Oh, Lord have mercy, they would pay. And I think that, you know, that goes to, you know, where the game and the PGA Tour and, you know, hopefully the LPGA Tour moves to where when you do make it to that level and you do become a professional, yes, I agree, in the history of time, there was people that couldn't stay up on top of the board. Game may have fallen off. They went down. But realistically, the pay for appearance thing was something that was always frowned upon.
Right.
And now, you know, hey, get paid. I mean, go ahead and get paid. Get your name, image, and likeness because, you know, you've worked hard to get there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's what I like about it. And again, what I like about the women's game, Teague, is that, you know, now you're seeing these athletic girls that are taken to the game of golf, what they can do to bring the game of golf to, mm-hmm. you know, the whole new world is hopefully better than Kim Kardashian. But, I mean, you know, I feel like it is. But, I mean, you know. It's just one of those things that, you know, the game of golf is just continuing to get better and better post-pandemic, in my opinion. And I think that, you know, all the people that came into it is going to see the benefit of it if we can have some good coverage.
All I'm saying is,
should we start a new golf channel?
That,
here?
That coverage needs to be a little bit more exciting. I know. Hey, I've got some ideas.
Tal Grace Marketing Media.
I got
golf
some
channel.
Ideas.
I mean, you know, I'm for it. I mean, I'm looking for something to do. I'm semi-retired.
I got some ideas.
I mean, you know,
I got the cameras. We can do that.
we could. You know, this week, let's get into what we're going to do moving forward for Loopers for Life. And I'm really excited about this because, you know, Teague and I have looked for sponsors. Nobody wants to sponsor us, but that's fine. You know what? We're still here. We're
going
to do this.
Let's be honest. We haven't really looked.
No, we haven't. We talk about it.
We talk about it, but we haven't really approached
it. And I think
anyone.
It only goes.
We're waiting for people to approach us.
This is when it really goes like, hey, we talk and it goes in one ear and out the other. Mm-hmm. I don't know what chair. It keeps on bouncing around in these headphones right here.
If you were smart, you would be sponsored.
Well, I mean, we're about ready to show how smart we are. I mean, we're going to get paid. We're going to.
Let's go.
So here's our new thing for 2022, which is going to keep Teague and I activated and doing this pretty much weekly.
Yep.
And having on all of our social media outlets and podcast outlets, blah, blah,
That's
blah.
That's right.
We are going to play fantasy golf and get paid this year.
Yeah.
And we're gonna start very small. We're going to do this on what? DraftKings?
DraftKings.
DraftKings. What's going to be our name? I mean, we got a name? Are you just going on your account?
Yeah, right now we're on my account, which is Ridge Rock.
Ridge Rock. Well,
I'll make a Loopers for Life.
No. Let's keep it on the block right there at Ridge Rock. We'll just keep it right there. I mean, I like that because then that way, if we got to get, you know, your cousin, you know, your
Well,
your
that's just
in,
it. Jordan's the man at this stuff.
Well,
so.
We're going to have him on.
We'll have to get Jordan on.
But I'd rather talk to your grandma, bro. Yeah, I mean, you know, let's talk to
she's
the
incredible
woman. Let's
it.
Talk to the Ridge Patriarch.
100 years old, plays fantasy golf every week and makes money every week.
I know. I bet she got paid with Jordan Spieth last week if we had to think about it.
I need to ask her who she
You
played,
need to follow but. Up. I mean, you got the we. She is somebody that we have to have.
Yeah.
The call-in pick of the week.
You know, I mean, and I tell you what, man, at 100 years old, she could call in and have that conversation with
love
us.
It.
And like
love
and be
it.
Fine. And she remembers everything. It's crazy. All
I
right.
love it.
So
love
let's go. It. So here's the thing. So I don't have this set up very well today, but I will in the future. I'll have it to where this is on the TV over here, Josh, so you can see it.
Oh.
So you're just going to have to kind of like roll with me today.
Dude, I'll roll with you.
All right. So who do you want to start with? You got any hunches for this week?
Well, let's talk about the tournament. I mean, we got the Waste Management Open, one of the most famous tournaments on the PGA Tour stop. I mean, it is already has the most loaded field for the 2022 season. All right, so it's and this is
yeah.
Really,
there's a lot of dudes in this one.
There's a lot of dudes in this one, and you know, obviously, it's top heavy too, which is awesome.
Yep.
Everybody wants to play well here and win.
Right.
You know, this is Super Bowl weekend. This is a lot of excitement, and it's a golf course that will honestly, you got to go out there and you got to go low.
Yeah.
I mean, and you got to blitz. And I mean,
so we got to have somebody that can make some birdies.
You got to have a big shot maker in this. I mean, any TPC golf course out on the tour is definitely an iron game. You can position the ball off the fairway. So, I mean, you don't necessarily have to hit bomb drivers to be able to play well here. But you do have to have a pretty good good strokes gain in greens and regulation.
Okay.
You know, and knocking your iron play down. So, you know, and from the fantasy perspective, I want to hear the rules because, you know, I'm going to be top heavy all the time. You're going to be.
All right. So we have a $50,000 salary and we've got to pick 1, 2, 3, 4. We got to pick 6 guys. Okay. Now, each player has a certain salary amount with it. So, for example, John Rahm is the top guy.
Right.
He's $11,600.
He's an ASU grad. I mean, this is a home game from John.
Okay.
John played well. They, you know, obviously he took last – I don't know if he played last week or not, but he played well at Torrey Pines 2 weeks ago where Luke List won. John was tied third. Rahm's a baller. I mean, and so this is definitely a home game for John Rahm.
All right. So, and then all the way down to $6,000 would be the lowest we can pay. So we've got to figure out how to make 6 guys work within a $50,000 salary.
All right. And so, like, in making, what is our goals? I mean, what is it to make cuts? Is it to pick winners?
Our goal is to have 6 guys that make the cut. So if you've got 6 guys that'll make the cut, then you actually have an opportunity to make money in fantasy golf. At that point, you got to have the winners. You got to have 1, 2, 3 a year or something like that, and then your other guys make the cut if you're going to win. But to make money in this, you got to have all 6 make the cut. So that needs to be the goal.
And how do you get rewarded more if you get guys on the lower end of it?
No, it doesn't matter.
So, like, if we pick somebody, you know, at the bottom side, it doesn't matter.
No, you do get rewarded more for so you get extra points for birdies and eagles, and you get points taken away for bogeys and double bogeys. So, depending on what they – so, if you got a guy that's out there just burning it up, making birdies and eagles, that can help you a lot as well as far as your overall point total.
All right, man. I mean, this feels loaded, bro.
All right, well, what are you feeling? Who are you feeling up top?
So, from the top half, we go from how much again for John Rahm?
John Rahm's 11,600. Thomas is 11,000. Cantlay's third at 10,000. Matsuyama's fourth at 10,000. So, it just kind of goes down the list. So, let's just figure out who we want that's kind of one of the bigger names, and then we'll start piecing it in.
Man, I tell you what. I mean, it's hard to go against John Rahm in this event.
You think he's going to be that good?
I do think he's going to be that good.
And that's fine.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say that he's going to have a great week there. He'll be right up there at the top. But if in the top heavy, I kind of like Justin this week. I mean, you know, and I feel like if we don't have Justin.
You always like Justin.
Well, I feel like if we don't have Justin on our first time that we do this as our top heavy one, I mean, are we really from Louisville? Did you really graduate from St. X? Right. I mean, did you really?
I'm good with it.
You know what I'm saying? I think he's going to – he's a great iron player. He's, you know, he's going to – excuse me. I think he wants to play well at events to where, you know, there is golf history. And, I mean, and he is a guy that will be on top of that leaderboard.
Mm-hmm.
And this, even though this is a middle-of-the-road tour stop, this is one of the most popular tour events in the world.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and so – or on their calendar, for sure. And one of the top golf events in the world, I would have to argue that. And
yep.
So I like Justin there. I mean, I think John Rahm's going to be a great play, Teague.
Okay.
Because he's a home game, but I'm going to have to be a homer.
All right, let's go Justin Thomas.
Let's go.
I'm going to come in at number two because we got to go down the list here a little bit. Here's a name that I like that I think can do us some good is Siwoo Kim. Siwoo Kim has made 9 out of 10 cuts. He's got an average of 69 right now on the tour. He's only 7,500. I like putting him in there with Justin because he gives us some value.
Let's get him.
All right. Siwoo Kim's going to go in at number two.
Where are you on right here, man? I'm going to pull this.
DraftKings. You got to have the whole app stuff, though.
You won't be able to pull it up right this second.
All right. And then, again, I'll get this up on the screens for us.
Then
so our listeners can actually watch. If you watch our podcast, you can watch us actually pick this. All right, so we've got Justin Thomas up top. We got Siwoo Kim. What's another name that you're feeling this week?
What's Scotty Scheffler? Where's he at?
That's a good question. Let's see. Scheffler is at 9,100, so decently expensive. He's made 7 out of 8 cuts. I mean, he's a great play. He's had 3 top tens.
So how much money have we spent so far?
All right, so if we put Scheffler in there, right? We have a remaining salary of 22,000. So we've got to be kind of in the mid range here, the guys that are 7,500 or so.
Okay.
So our 7,500 guys, Ricky Fowler, Putnam, Mitchell, Kisner, Kuchar. I'm never playing Kuchar ever. Damon, Woodland, Knox, Harmon. Any of those names right
now? Wow. Yeah. I mean, those are all great names. I mean, that's a pretty good grouping right there. I would have to say that Poopman guy. What do you think?
Let's see here. He has made 8 out of 10 cuts.
Right.
He's had 1 top 10.
Which was just recently, right?
Yeah. Yep. At the AT&T Pro-Am.
Yeah. And I tell you, I've read
He
finished 6th. And a great story about him on Twitter. And basically at a Corn Ferry event or one of those events, and him and his caddy got crashed afterwards. He ended up making a cut, and he had already had 4 IPAs. They went out and played golf at some little night muni.
Yep.
And got the lights kicked off on him.
Oh, wow. How about that?
He said I overslept, dude shot 63 on Saturday. You know, it's waste management.
He sounds like our type of guy.
He's a waste management guy right there, so I'm going to say him.
All right. So we've got Putnam. Now, let's go pick somebody at the bottom.
Let's go.
So let's find somebody that we think is going to do well that's pretty cheap. So we're talking Duffner, Luke Donald, Sung Kang. Sung Kang's got 7 out of 12 cuts. That's not bad. Kevin Tway, Brian Gay, Haggy, Kelly Kraft. Here's your guy, McGirt. Daddy, he's the bottom guy.
What do you think? I mean, there's, again, I mean, you know.
Did any of those names stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, the guy that made 7 out of 12 cuts. I mean, you know, that's what we're looking at.
Sung Kang, yeah.
I mean, you know, you look at him.
We need cuts.
I mean, you know, do we want to get, I mean, I kind of feel like.
Bill,
you know,
Hawes is there.
I kind of feel like this is needs to be a homer one. If we ever have talked about a guy on our Loopers for Life,
yeah.
We need to get in. And what better place to have McGirt?
I mean, come on,
waste
McGirt.
Management. I mean, you know, it's a
Let's
waste
go.
Management.
Let's go.
Let's just put McGirt on McGirt's that team.
There.
I love that. No, I love that. Putting him getting wasted and having that story out on Twitter. I read that. And if it wasn't putting him, I'm sorry. There was somebody else. I don't know who it was, but it was a great story.
All right. Now I'm going to let you pick between three guys here.
All right. Give them.
This will be our last pick. Finau, Oosthuizen, or Seamus Power.
Wow. Teague, wow. Finau, Oosthuizen, and Seamus Power.
Yeah, which one of those you want?
Again, you said it earlier, and, you know, that's really, really hard because, I mean, you know, Finau out on the West Coast, I mean, he's going to play well there. I mean, he's from the Utah area, Nevada area.
He's 5 out of 7
yeah,
cuts.
He's, and, I mean, you know, he has not only the length on that, but I would say this is an event that he would be – he's going to be on the top half of that leaderboard for sure. Seamus Power.
Yeah, man.
What a great year, man.
8 out of 10 cuts. 3 top 10s already.
Right. I mean, he has been balling.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, and then you got Louis. And, I mean, and
he's Mr. Solid.
How many times has Louis played this year?
He's not played. He's 3 times.
Yeah.
He's made the cut twice. So he hasn't played a lot.
Okay. And how many times has he played this year? I don't think he's played a lot this year.
3.
Yeah, he's played 3. So that, okay. I thought you said at that golf
yeah,
course.
Yeah, no. He's only played 3 times this entire year.
I'm going to see. I'm going to go with the Irish Golf, Teague. I mean, yeah, I know that's your boy, Oosthuizen.
I like all 3 of them.
I do too. And I just think that Seamus has been playing exceptional golf.
He has.
And, you know, coming here. With this and being a young guy and embracing it, I mean, we got to go with a European in there.
Seamus Power?
Yeah, I'm going to say Seamus Power.
All right, that's our
team. That's going to be me.
All right, so our team.
I will take full responsibility for
that's
Seamus
okay. I like
against
it.
Those 3.
All right, our team is Thomas,
okay.
Siwoo Kim, Scotty Scheffler, Putnam, McGirt, and Seamus Power. McGirt's where this whole thing falls, and it's going to crash on us if he doesn't make the cut.
Well,
if McGirt goes out and has a week, we're in good shape.
McGirt has to have a good week. I mean, it's a waste management.
If he has a week, we've got a shot at this.
And that's another reason why I'm going with Seamus Power. I mean, you know, the waste management is nothing but green. Everybody's going to have green on. I mean, Seamus Power being the Irishman, I mean, what's he going to do? He's gonna have his green going. He's going to be overflowing with Guinness out there. And, I mean, I think that I like him. And man, I tell you, I am writing down, here's what I'm doing over here in my Loopers for Life intel topics. I am writing down the hard picks.
Okay.
So we will always have the hard picks like Seamus Power over Oosthuizen.
Right.
Right. And Finau.
Yep.
I mean, that was a
major one. So,
and then maybe the top half one, too. I mean,
right.
You know, but
you could have not taken Rahm.
Right.
Right. Not taking
some
of those
guys. I'm
going homer.
I mean, you know. So yeah. We got to read it one more time.
All right. So our picks are. Where did I put that?
JT.
Siwoo Kim. Scotty Scheffler. Putnam. Is that Andrew Putnam?
I think so, yes.
McGirt and Power. Let's go. I like it. It's a squad right there.
It is.
I feel like we're going to make some money.
Let's do it. I mean, so we're going to start off with just a gentleman's bet, like $5, right?
We're just doing the $5
one
right
now. If we win, right, I said we double every
week. We'll just roll it. We'll parlay it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll get into whatever fantasy.
We'll just parlay it every week.
With the DraftKings and fantasy golf. We will definitely do that. I like this. And, I mean, you know, this way, maybe we get a sponsorship from our own dollars, Teague, and we create our own golf channel, and we create all this stuff coming out of the Tile Grace Marketing and Media Studios right here.
You know.
And we just, you know, looping.
We need
just
to get
loop the world,
DraftKings to be sponsoring us on this.
Yeah, there you go. You never know. Once we have our sponsorship go in your ear and out my ear,
that's right.
I mean, who if knows? Somebody wants to do it, you know where we're at, because right. this has been Loopers for Life, our first yep. fantasy draft. We have given them to you. We've covered all the topics again. If there's anything that you want to see from us, hear from us, let us know. You can follow us on all of our social media outlets, Loopers for Life, Twitter. We're going to put, we're getting there. I mean, and again, we've been with the consistency of having it.
Yep.
Now we're going to take this and have our guests come in. Lots of calls. Camila Villegas, sorry we didn't pick
Dude,
you.
Sears. I'm not even sure he plays golf anymore.
We love you. Loopers for Life, Kentucky Golf. Let's go do it, JT, this week. Let's get paid.
Peace.